This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 8th of October, 1953. The title of this lecture is Thetan Control, Part 2, Handling Occlusion. This tape is 58 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions. Please note, this tape ends abruptly, as did the original master recording.
Continuing this October 8th first lecture, we have a problem here in terms of knowingness. What is a Thetan willing to know? Well, the funny part of it is the Thetan really isn't willing to know anything. We have to get into the line of what is a Thetan willing to do? Well, if you can show a Thetan he can do something by knowing something, then he's in good shape. Ah, yeah, he'll consent to know something. That's kind of a degraded method of going about things. You'd have to be in a very low-toned society to have this come about, but he's willing to know something. As a consequence, in education, if you teach a child arithmetic without ever showing the child that arithmetic was any use, he isn't willing to know arithmetic. Of course, you're selling him a bill of goods to tell him arithmetic is of any use anyhow. Funny part of it is all you have to do is look at the answer. I mean, he thinks much better in terms of action. When he is a fact, he is doing much better than thinking up some factors to make a fact. All right, your Thetan is then interested in control. Now, in past work that we've been doing, we've been giving a lot of attention to what we've been calling error. You understand that we've inherited a lot of faults in our culture. We've inherited these. Man has thought about thinking for a long time. They're in the language. They're in the culture itself. They're all over the place. And as we manage to find these and shed them, our knowledge advances. But our knowledge advances as fast as we understand by our remaining thinking that the thinking we had wasn't necessary. Follow that. Now, we're very reluctant, you see, to give up any method of control, because control means action, and if you can't have action, then the thing doesn't think he has very much. And if he doesn't have very much, then life is very dull indeed, and he'd just rather not live it. He gets into the state of Homo sapiens because he's approximated Homo sapiens. If he limits all the action he can do to the action Homo sapiens can do, then he's in bad shape. Now, the only time your Thetan snaps back into the body and sticks is not when somebody throws a firecracker in his face, or not when somebody injures the body in some fashion, or not when he's, oh boy, that's action. But when he has been outside the body and hasn't been able to completely control it. Get the idea. The fellow's walking across the street. You've got him now. He's a step one. You've exteriorized him. You've run the first drills of beingness. He's perfectly willing to play ball with you. And this is all right, because his body is there, and it's under guard, and he's very certain nothing will happen to him, but you aren't going to do anything to him. It's bad. You're not going to recontrol the body or suddenly steal it off of him. So he's perfectly willing to go on with his processing. He goes out, and he does this and that. Then he comes back a couple of days later, and by God, you can't get him out of his head. Or he's been a quote theta clear, unquote, as far as you could tell, for about 3 months. And you see him one day, and he all of a sudden, he can't get out of his head. He tells you he can. It's an impossibility. He knows. He just as soon push and strain at the body, trying to move some molecule of the body outside of the body. But he isn't going to just cooperate with you right away. What is the factor that has stopped his ability to exteriorize and fly around and enjoy himself? It's he's received a bad moment of uncontrol, a bad moment of inability to control. Oh, please remember this, because you run into it just continuously. He has gotten halfway across the street. He's made his body walk across the street, and he's sitting up on a telephone pole enjoying the street, enjoying the scenery and everything, and the body is walking across the street. He wasn't paying much attention to it. A doggone taxi cab came around the corner, turned the wrong way, too fast, and so forth, and almost hit his body. And he ran into the lag factor of the messed universe. I'm going to go into this right away. He ran into the lag factor of the messed universe and scared him. So he solves the lag factor by being in the body again. He couldn't make the body jump as quick as he thought the body ought to jump. And some fellow will get in his car, and he'll sit at a stoplight, and he may be processing himself or something. He's sitting up on the roof. He's driving a car. He's sitting up on the roof or something of the sort, and as he goes along, he stops at a stoplight. And he's just up there doping off. He doesn't dope off. He's just looking at things, thinking about things, interested and so forth. And he isn't immediately aware of them. He's forgotten for a moment what he's doing. Why? He came up to the stoplight, and the stoplight said stop, so his body stopped the car, and this car is not in motion. Well, he's been operating under the slight strain of the body being in motion, you see, and he didn't think those beautiful thoughts that he was quite, he was kind of saving those, or he was didn't quite operate the way he thought he ought to operate while the car was in motion, and he suddenly gets in these good, fast licks on the subject of taking a real good look now at that girl he saw on the last block. Well, he'll just go back and take a look. And the traffic light changes, and there sits the guy. And he'll maybe sit there for an hour. Traffic jammed up and so forth. Well, if he comes back and finds that a cop is arguing with his body, gives him a very bad fright, because the one thing Thetan is interested in is police, because that represents messed universe. Your occluded case responds fantastically to double terminally, I am under arrest. Any occluded case, it just responds fabulously. Why are they convinced they're under arrest? Why? Because they're trying to hold motion, and that's what the cops are trying to do. Whatever you say about police, they are only trying to do one thing, and that's stop motion. Well, the stop, they're the best approximation of the messed universe that you can make, really. Justice and police, courts. They and the police themselves, just all they want to do is just stop motion. Someday, some city is going to realize this and take traffic out of the hands of the police, and thus empty its streets. But as long as traffic stays in the hands of the police, there's never going to be any motion of traffic. All they're going to do is slow down traffic and impossibly direct it. They're going to keep it on the street longer, using lots of one-way streets, you see. They're going to slow down its speed. It never occurs to anybody to put at every block just willy-nilly. There's too many tools, there's too much steel in this society to balk, you see, at any project that only would take a month or two of labor on the part of a city and a few guys. Every street and so on ought to have walkovers or walk-unders. Walk-unders are much superior to walkovers because they've always had to eliminate later elevateds. But what's the pedestrian doing in the street? You can ask that question. What's he doing there? Then they're going to have to make stores, just have to make stores, put truck delivery parking systems below the store. That truck is going to have to go into the basement. He can drive down the street all right, but for heaven's sakes, don't have him stop before he gets off the street. And you wouldn't have any traffic problem anywhere in these big cities. But as long as it's in the hands of the police, pam. Well, your Thetan has been stop motioned, until he actually thinks the cops are after him. The cops aren't after him. You find the major key in occlusion on a lot of cases is simply dates to a moment when the person was arrested. You find it, you check it back over. I've checked it several times. The fellow was arrested. Well, just some little thing. You hardly think it would amount to anything. But all of a sudden he got sick, the prospect of having to go to court. There'll be a big emotional upset. It'll show up on knee meter like neon signs. All right. Control. The ability to start, stop, and change motion is the primary concern of the Thetan. And he is using this silly method of, now, Willie, you run down to the store. Oh, this is really interesting. He goes into this automaticity, and he tells his body, Willie, you run down to the store. Well, that's obviously very simple, because Mama gets the body to mind. Mama can lay her hands on, and Mama, of course, is not a Thetan. Mama's body. Everybody's in the body of this world, but thee and thou are the Thetan. So to stay in agreement, you have to be a body, you see. There aren't any other except yourself. Well, anyway, you get what this is then. If your thinking is oriented around the basis of being stuck in a body, look how far off we are on our nomenclature and so forth. So let's not orient our thinking on the basis of stuck in a body. Let's orient our thinking on the basis, well, he's pervading a body. That's good, you see. That doesn't mean he's going to have any trouble. He's pervading it. Now, he's a pervading an approximation of the body. And now you've got a body marked up, more or less, on the same lines as the body. That's really bad. And this body is approximating the immediate geographical location, this mock-up body, of the human body. And there's enough concourse between the human body and the mock-up body so that Thetan, by controlling the mock-up, controls the human body. And he's real good at it. Don't for a moment think that Thetan isn't doing a terrific job of control.
Well, isn't that just a case of collapsed terminals where he's got one terminal superimposed on another?
Sure. That's right. He's got both terminals collapsed, but he wants them. Does not go in for a stimulus-response explanation. It's a perfectly realized explanation. He knows, you know as you sit here, that you want to control your body. Don't worry about what you are or anything else. That you know. You want to control your body. If you want to be able to light a cigarette when you want to light a cigarette, keep your body sitting upright in the chair. You want to be able to be able in an hour or so to walk. You want to be able to talk. In other words, your entire concentration is on control of the body. But you're realizing that you have a desire to control the body. Nobody's whipping you into controlling this body. You can realize it and rationalize it and say, well, if I don't do these things, some other horrible things will happen. There'll be penalties. The hell there will be. And then if you say, well, things would really be upset around here if I just left this body sitting in the chair. Well, the reason you wouldn't do that is because you have other people's problems. By the way, it's really button. Thetan is only worried about other people's problems. If he up and left the body there, other people are dependent upon this body, and he'd be letting them down. And he actually has a terrific level of responsibility, although he's pretending all the time he doesn't. If you start to assess what a Thetan is doing. And when you realize, actually, that it's only the Thetan that's doing this, you all, of a sudden, as that being, become quite a person to yourself. Just realize. People lose sight of these things. You maintain this and do that and square this around, push cars around, do all sorts of things in terms of action. And you can do all sorts of things in terms of appearance and maintenance. Really fabulous. The body can't do one of them. You're a smart cookie. Real smart. You can pick up them feet and you can put them down. You go down to the ballet sometime. Boy, you look at a lot of very accomplished Thetans. Those bodies aren't dancing. The Thetan is pervading with sufficient energy to make that body go through all those gyrations. And although after a while he'll get enough ridges built up on the subject so that he's got a pattern response, he's the guy that put it there. Nobody else put it there. He'll use any system. And boy, you can put this as a password to all investigation. He'll use any system proposed. Let's not worry about testing. Any system proposed in order to better his control of the body. And if you were to slant what you were doing for a preclear and to make it more possible for him to control his and other bodies, he'd sure get in there and pitch with you. Ooh. But you tell him to get out, this is silly. Because he's approximating the body, and although there can be a light energy interchange, if we misuse the word energy. Although this is the case, you've got the body. It's really convinced. The body's got lots of reasons, you see. It's got reasons for everything. It's really convinced. The body, being so well approximated, knows it's in complete captivity. They move spot. It's fabulous. It's a fabulous thing that Thetan is doing. Because He is not picking up his leg, body's leg, and moving it aside. He's moving his own leg aside, and the body's leg has no other choice but to follow. Well, it took a long time for the thing to get enough ridges and so forth built up there. They get this rather silly picture of the Thetan identifying himself with the body and then controlling the body by controlling his approximation of the body. When you've got his pervasion of the body, when his pervasion of the body is perfect, he doesn't put a mock-up coincident with the body. He just pervades the body. And pervading the body does whatever he does. Well, how does he do it? High scale, he just simply says, my legs are moving forward now. This is happening. That's happening. It happens. It goes on and happens. He takes over the motor responses of the body and simply tells them what to do. Without verbal command, it is probable the body wouldn't obey without this verbalization control in the society. Well, by the way, that's not me coughing on these tapes. That's Burke Belknap. and we got to get Burke squared away. He's got a collapsed terminal on his lungs. Okay. Who is it, Burke?
Probably my old man.
Probably your old man? When did you take the terminal off him and put it on you?
I just think walking down the street here, remembering one of the last times I was at the house, I was somewhat worried about his health because he was lying awake all night coughing.
Is that so?
Yeah, very interesting.
Did you put a terminal on his lungs then in order to pump enough energy into him so he could control his lungs? Well, why don't you just go through the motions of putting a terminal on his lungs? There he is lying there coughing, and you put a terminal on his lungs. Now let's put the approximation called Burke Belknap immediately coincident with the old man and stop his coughing. Now let's put a terminal to that approximation of Burke Belknap. Now let's get how certain it's got to be that that approximation keeps on stopping his coughing. Okay, now take the terminal off your own chest and put both terminals on the approximation's chest. Feel any more comfortable?
I can breathe.
Yeah, well, the Thetan, of course, and we're going into that right now, various things happen. But a Thetan can and will pervade everything. He just can and will pervade all sorts of things. He'll go around and he'll a bed, and he's trying to move the bed so he can make it in the morning. And the damn bed won't move. Well, his first impulse, because all of his impulses are going through a whole chain of control things from a tiny gradient scale to a great one, is to simply mock up a bed with the bed and then move the mock-up, which will move the bed. That's easy. Body's safe to work. Everything is safe to work. If he were really beefy, tough on the whole thing, he would be able to get that much condensed energy, force energy, out there and approximate the bed and give it a shot, theoretically. He would simply put enough one with enough gravity in it or something like that on one side of the room, and the actual bed would have to come over to hit a clank. Well, he's been made, in the included case, has been forced to relinquish responsibility for his mock-ups. He's made a mock-up, and the mock-up went on working, and about the least admired thing you can think of is setting up something which then goes on working by itself. Nobody can do anything about it, you see. They can't go tell anybody. For Christ's sakes, what do you want to mock that thing, you know? It just goes on working by itself. The story of the little windmill, you know, that went on making salt. Well, this universe is actually the story of that little windmill. Went on making salt, they made salt for this one, it made salt for that one. They kept turning, and made more salt, and filled them all the warehouses of salt. Finally, a guy in desperation took it out. Threw it into the sea, and that's how the sea became salt. It's still down at the bottom there turning out salt. Well, that's about what happened in this universe. If somebody started making salt, and here we got an expanding universe.
It
just keep on going. All right, here's your system then. If you would just pervade the bed, you'd just be the bed, you see. What would that be? Has a bed got any possibility or potential of motion? No. No. So you have to use some kind of energy to try to make it move. You could be an automobile and start the motor. And it would run by pervasion. By just simply shorting enough switches. But again, you would be using some additional energy besides pervasion. So when it comes to handling the mesh universe, the task is to use minimal energy. Boy, does the Thetan dramatize this with labor-saving devices. Use minimal energy for maximal effort. So, there we've got your clue. Case you see him. If you see him, he tells you he's stuck in his body. Well, he's probably stuck in his mock-up. He really is probably stuck in his mock-up. Well, he wants to be stuck in his mock-up. And his whole concern is that his left arm, as a mock-up, will not track with his left arm as a body. Now, that was the essence of that little technique of the doctor taste. You can just make the Thetan pull his mock-up arms forward. Without pulling his body's arms forward, you've broken the spell for him. See? You have broken the spell. Now, a Thetan starts downhill when he finds out he can't control another person. He finds out that somebody else is being very unreasonable and non-survival, not providing action or fun or anything of the sort. He just can't control this person. So your Thetan starts to go downhill the moment he meets Mama. They're big, they don't control easily, so on. But if you want to see a parent really nonstop in terrible condition, just haggard and shot to pieces, you watch a parent who doesn't realize that baby is because little baby. Baby is able to mock up and approximate the parents. He's able to pervade. He's able to do all sorts of things. And furthermore, he can actually shoot some energy around. And the parents just get moralized up and moralized up. As a thing, the baby is in much better shape than the parents. Much more capable of generating energy. You think it's real safe to reach over and pick up little Billy and give him a good shake and a slap and a bop on the head. That's real safe. That's just about as safe as going out and finding a mama saber-toothed tiger who has three young and start beating the young over the head. You might be able to beat mom over the head and get away with it, but don't beat over the young. This is the same thing. A Thetan is watching this little baby. And it's probably only partially occupied in pervading the baby because it's kind of dull. And the Thetan in this particular case is doing everything he should do and is approximating the body as well as he can, but that early he isn't convinced, you see, that he has to approximate even what the body thinks in order to control the body. He thinks the body thinks something and he approximates what the body thinks in order to make the body think. All right, so it's really dimming. They're much better systems. All right. Now, parent comes along and slaps the baby around. Oh, no. First thing you know, you see the parents getting haggard, and the baby getting worse and worse, and the baby getting mean and ornery and bad, and the parents getting harassed and worried and tired. No, it isn't any curses put on. They're just simply being knocked to pieces. That's all. Just in outright warfare. And then some, you say, well, Thetan, you get a bad Thetan. Well, there's no such thing as a bad Thetan. A Thetan, there's such a thing as a Thetan who isn't in a very good state of motion. He isn't producing as much motion as he should. But there isn't any such thing as a bad Thetan or a good Thetan. See, the bad and good things are those things which have been evaluated as bad and good by the class or level of society in which he's operating. I hope I've made something clear to you. You haven't got an occluded case stuck in a body. The occluded case is stuck, if stuck at all, in his own mock-up of the body. Theoretically, you actually could just tell a guy, well, all right, leave your body on the chair and walk out into the middle of the room. actually, he can do it with ease and would do it, except that this question pops up. What the hell would the body do if I did? See, that's his whole concern. And another thing is, after he's been gypped a few times and has an enormously bad opinion of other human beings, oh boy, he's got a real bad opinion of these other human beings right now. That is, they're untrustworthy. How does break of trust with other human beings and the human race influence the ability to be mobile? Well, the body has a very limited mobility. Oh, it's very limited compared to a thing's mobility, which is tremendous. Well, please, please observe that as he sits there, you ask him, untrusting, he doesn't trust other people, you ask him to move out and leave an empty body? Because all Thetans do are steal each other's mock-ups. And when he gets this keyed in very thoroughly, he's about as ready to leave that body ready for occupancy as anything you could think of. It's not true at this debased level of the society that you would leave a body unoccupied and then come back and find out somebody else had occupied it and was walking around with it. The statements that we've got around today just aren't that good. They couldn't all in a moment get a mock-up thoroughly enough and know this body well enough so as to be able to control this body, and it'd take years to where they could get that body to walk, you see. Unless they were really up tone scale. Now, the way they go about it, if they're really up tone scale, I'll tell you how to steal bodies, just dog hand, very quick-like. You just simply influence the person. Putting out little beams and energizing his various ridges. And so on. You'll influence a person quite markedly. You can make a person walk and make them talk and so on without going into the body. And if you wanted to steal a body, you would be able to generate enough admiration and so forth. So you just burn his ridge system down. You just burn his lockup down, that's all. And then you would simply pervade the body and train it all over again. You'll find bodies in insane asylums to which this has happened. They just lost all their whole ridge systems. And the psychiatrist is really daffy. He's trying to blow up this ridge system with electrical energy, trying to blow it up so that they can't control the body at all. The psychiatrist is really, the reason he acts that way toward the insane, he's afraid of him. He wants to immobilize him, hold motion against him. All right, then we're just trying to rehabilitate the ability to cause motion on the part of the Thetan, which means that we've got to rehabilitate his ability to pervade rather than approximate. If he can pervade, he'll have enough energy. He's unafraid enough. He can generate enough energy and so forth. Do practically anything he wants to. But if he just approximates and then occupies his approximation and then hopes to Christ it'll stay in the same physical location and situation at all moments.
This lecture is continued on side two of this cassette.
Every once in a while, a fellow will get startled and find himself walking a pace ahead of himself. You want to know what the startlement is when you don't have the, when you have one more step than you thought you were going to have? It's not the jar of coming down on that last step. It's the jar of coming out of your body when you didn't mean to. When there's supposed to be one more step, and there isn't one step, there is no jar, is there? Well, you get just the same sensation. And you as a Thetan take this extra step. And the step is there, obviously, and you took it. And by golly, your leg's out of position. It'll give you a considerable shock in the leg to do this. Well, I hope you understand this just a little bit better. It's not very hard to understand. Sometimes a guy will pull and strain at this sort of thing. When a person's doing a complete approximation, he approximates all the thinkingness and beingness of the body. And if he concentrates on this hard enough, it's like he's hypnotized. If you had a fellow sitting up here, and you had hypnotized him, and you told him he was a grizzly bear, he would actually see him operating as a grizzly bear. Well, how'd you hypnotize him? Just by fixing and then dispersing and then fixing his attention on one thing, and by one thing, with one thing. That's what happened to the Thetan in the body. There actually isn't anything really wrong with the Thetan. Beyond the fact that he might have better, more motionable things to do than simply operate one body. He just fixated on this body. So you break that off. He thinks that all he can do is approximate this body. So you unfix his attention on the body, which is to say you extrovert him because he's too introverted. Hypnotism is complete introversion on a subject. Being in a body and approximating a body is just complete fixation on a body. And it doesn't mean that a thetan has no more capability than the operation of a body or operation in this universe, and no more thinkingness than a body would have. This is not true. He just thinks to a large degree that he's doing this, and his anxiety is that he won't be able to control it because he doesn't think he can be anything else. Okay, let's take a break. Okay. Just adding a few more words here. I've given you some theory, and I'm not going to give you a technique. You have numerous mentions on other tapes of black spot processing. Black spot processing. It's in one of the SOPs. I think it's in SOP 3, 5. It's in SOP 5. Yes, that's right. SOP 5, black spot processing. Well, now it's about time I told you how to work this, because it is murder on an occluded case, as I said at the time, and so on. But I very often assume that everything we know has been assimilated. And you'll find out, I think it's one of the late logics about gradient scales. If you want the book there, you find the logic number of it. Has to do with this universe and gradient scales. Well, very well. Let's see what this has to do with it. It's logic 7. Gradient scales are necessary to the evaluations of problems and their data. Well, this is the tool of infinity-valued logic, and so forth. Gradient scales. Well, let's apply gradient scales to creative processing, and we will find out immediately that black spot processing used with this same thing that we were talking about all the way through SOP 5, becomes a bear cat of a technique. And I never found out exactly why auditors weren't having an easy time of it resolving occluded cases with black spot processing. So I just skipped black spot processing and went on to something else. Actually, it's a little bit touchier and more delicate to use than other processes, and I don't like these processes that require a lot of savvy on the part of an auditor. So there'd be two ways a process could get ditched. One of the ways is it required too much savvy, and the other one, it required too long in order to work. Or, the third way, of course, is that it didn't work at all. Now, let's apply gradient scales to black spot processing, and maybe you'll have a lot of luck with an occluded case in a relatively short space of time someday. You get the person to mock up a black speck, eyes open or closed, the tiniest of specks on the wall, and then make it go away. It doesn't go away readily, having to carve out that chunk of the wall and throw it away. Anything to get rid of it. If he didn't get rid of that first one, have him mark up two or three more tiny black specks up there, get rid of one of these, you see. And then have him put another one in before you ask him to get rid of another one of these. And put another one in, and then get rid of that. And he's got three or four in reserve, or six or eight in reserve, so he feels fairly comfortable, you see. He's not wasting anything. He's got lots of it, obviously, in abundance. And the blackness is of value, you see. People use blackness to blind other people's mock-ups. All right, how does this technique follow? Tiny black spot banished. And then another black spot banished. Until you get a little bit of a line charge off your occluded case. Just a little laugh. Getting easy, is it? And he's got good certainty on it, finally. And then you just give him another black spot a little bigger. And make it vanish. Another black spot a little bigger, make it vanish. And then you give him a couple of black spots and make them vanish. And you work it on continuous successes on gradient scales. Now you get him up to a point where he can mock up a black sphere and make it vanish. Tiny speck with three dimensions, and then another tiny speck with three dimensions, and then you finally get this up to where you can mock up and let go of a pretty good sized black sphere. He can do this with his eyes open, by the way, or his eyes closed, but he puts it on the wall. All right, gives it a precise location. Now he's got this sphere. Now let's move this sphere above his head, blowing it behind him and on both sides of him, and just handle this sphere. Then let's have several of these spheres and handle them. But each time, creating and destroying them, making them vanish, you see. Go. Now, when we get through with spheres, and he's got a great deal of expertness in spheres, put him into squares. Square black spots. Now you've got a few more square black spots, and you distribute these around in the same fashion. You move them around. In other words, you move around him, behind him, in front of him, below him, on this wall, that wall, and another wall, and so forth, until he can easily move around and change the size of and vanish a black square. Well, now you made him handle the solid already, didn't you? I point that out carefully. It was a circle, or a spot, circular spot, speck, and it became a bigger speck, and then you handled that all around the body. But each time he was putting it there and making it go away, putting it there and making it go away, until he did that easily. Then you've got a black circle, and then you've got bigger, bigger circles, and then you finally got a tiny sphere, and then you got more and more spheres. And you finally could get rid of spheres with great ease. And then you take up, after you've really got great big spheres of this stuff, then you take up cubes. Now, word of warning, don't take up cubes until you have already taken up spheres. And don't take up a cube until he's really gone a long way on this and is getting very cocky, very self-confident. And when he gets very, very self-confident about this, give him a cube. Give him a tiny little cube. And then a little bit bigger cube, and then give him 5 or 6 cubes, and then move these cubes all around and so forth, because you're handling the pattern of three-dimensional space when you're handling a cube. And you're also re-stimulating jails and other things. If you all of a sudden gave him a cube, you find out that the case quite normally bogs right where at that point. You gave him a cube before they're able to handle spheres. Sphere, then cube. All right. This is the way it handles with most cases, because these cases, having been educated in cubicle rooms and that sort of thing, blackness is sticky. They were repressing white in cubes. They repress white. They repress the whiteness of the page in cube for a long time, and this is reading. And so they get a black cube, and they have difficulty. Yeah.
I think they have to handle the cubes, all right.
Well, for heaven's sakes, then, if we have a reverse of this case, then we've got somebody hanging around Mars, and or we're hanging around, we're running into space opera, black stars, the horror of your space flight, because they sit there and they're completely invisible, and all of a sudden there's a dull crush, and he's into this molten mass of radioactivity, and that's the end of his ship. Well. Let's take a look then. If he's, by the way, has been personifying his ship and being his ship for a long time. Now, Navy men, by the way, you ought to run their ships out. Mock up a ship, be a ship. Let's duplicate that ship. Now, let's be that ship. Now, let's not be that ship, and so forth. And boy, you'll pull them off with more. Those ships are shifty, you know, and they still got anchor points on them. Every once in a while, they'll get a visio as they're processing the ship and waves and sea and bridge and if you ever process a truck driver or a fellow who's driven an awful lot, you keep getting roads, my God. And in this mechanized society where you have lots of roads, nearly everybody sooner or later get roads because they're collapsing points. See, the points of the road keep coming in on them. They have to approximate the road all the time, and then this collapses on them. Great mechanism for driving a whole society into slavery. Anyway, this black spot processing just goes up on this gradient scale of handling little tiny dots of blackness. If you do this very adroitly and very kindly and with great security on your own part, to the included case, he all of a sudden is able to make blackness appear and disappear at will. And his occlusion is simply blackness, and he could make them, his own blackness, simply vanish. And it's the easiest process of them all. And auditors have had a devil's own time. And they have had that devil's own time because I didn't hand out the dope. Never gave an example. I've never given this much of a rundown on black spot processing. I just tell people to get a black spot on the wall. And when they get a black spot on the wall, with great security and that sort of thing, and move it around a bit, why, ordinarily, in my experience, the case that I was operating with, it's not, it just kind of blow in all directions. But I researched my auditing just a little bit, and I found myself handing this out to a pre-clear the other night. And I sat back and I listened to myself for a short time. And I've just given you what I heard. And this evidently is the way I have been handing out my black spot processing now for about 5 or 6 months. And I wasn't handing it out that way at that time. But I would just make the guy get great security on it. Boy, their certainty comes way up when they're able to pick up and put down a black spot whenever they like. This keeps them then from holding all that blackness in reserve. What's the blackness good for? The blackness is used to blind and spoil somebody else's mock-up. If you just run this, somebody else is putting up a mock-up of a body, and then you put up a mock-up of a body, and then have somebody else put up a mock-up of a body, and then you put up a mock-up of a body. About the third time you put up a mock-up of a body, it'll be splat right across the eyes and it'll all go black. What's this? This is just somebody else's method getting rid of a mock-up. What's the only thing you can really upset a thing with? Blinding. That's the only thing you can really upset with. So running overt acts on blindness will actually turn on occlusion on a case. If you keep a case processing his own blindness. That is to say, running out all the incidents, running out all the incidents. Or if you just keep mocking up and feeding the bank with an enormous number of overt acts of blindness, and that is feeding the bank, you know, leaving these things around and so forth, you'll turn on occlusion. How is this? Any way that you do it, whether it's that way or the other way, just remember the rule this way. You can turn on occlusion by making the thetan motivator hungry. We're going to go into that right now. Motivator hungry, overt hungry. A person's had so many things happen to him that he's never done that he now becomes starved to do something. And so in that case, you let him do overts. And the case has done so many overts without anything happening to him that he's now starved for motivators. It's out of balance. And this works on anything. And yesterday he gave an example down there on the stomach. You get, of course, the stomach is guilty of many more overts than it is motivators. Obviously, because it's alive, isn't it? And it's always been eating, hasn't it? And you get somebody with ulcers, you just get things and people, particularly parents, things like that, eating his stomach. Just have his stomach mocked up and have him dying upon it. You just keep this up until he gets his stomach very well eaten many, many times. And when he gets his stomach eaten enough times, all of a sudden stomach trouble goes away. Not because you've run out of clock of engrams, or it's simply that you've given him the motivator. Well, now a thetan who is occluded is motivator hungry. He's a lot of things, but he's motivator hungry for blindness. He has blinded more mock-ups than he has been blinded. So he's motivator hungry. He's holding his blackness up. You said, you see, I'm not guilty. It was done to me more times than I didn't. Because I've got it, haven't I? And that doesn't have to be the case. He's saying, at all, and by the way, his thinking will follow the same pattern. The fellow who says things are happening. Oh, he says, my parents did the most terrible things to me, and the government's done the most terrible things to me, and people have done the most terrible. All he's trying to do is mock up in his conversation with you a sufficient number of motivators. Only the trouble is he isn't mocking them up. He's not solving his case worth a nickel. He theoretically could, though. Hippocrates said a person wasn't well of an operation until he told his friends about it 5 times. That was Hippocrates' idea of running out engrams, I guess. But also, this person really, on the other side of the picture, had put it on the track 5 times, would have had approximately 5 more mock-up operations. He was hungry for the one, or he would never have had it. Now he adds 5 more operations to it, and this just about balances the budget. Now he can be happy about it. The people who complain about things having been done to them are motivator hungry. And what you do is mock up things, bad things happening to them, particularly eating. And people who talk all the time about the horrible things they've done are overt hungry. Now, these are 2 common phrases and something you should remember and use in processing. You use these things continually. I point out how new this data is. It is on the 880 tapes of it's on the 880 tapes that were given the Phoenix Lecture Series, June of 1952. Now, motivator hungry, overt hungry. And these 2 things turn up in every pre-clear. If you're just doing an office practice, which is to say somebody comes in 5 minutes, the best way to do an office practice, by the way, if you're just going to do an office practice and interview people, is at this stage of the game, never give an hour's processing or 2 hours processing. Process them until you've gotten some good. Because as far as remedial techniques are concerned, you can actually whizzle on most of the cases too fast to occupy much time. Somebody comes in, he's got a sore foot, and he picks up his sore foot, and bam, that's that. How long did it take you to fix it up? Well, it might have taken you 2 hours to fix it up. It might have taken you 6 sessions to fix it up, but that would be a very rough case. With the techniques which you are learning and using right now, you should be able to fix it up in 10 or 15 minutes. That's about it. That's about all it amounts to. All right. You got that classification? Okay. What's wrong with a person who complains about his parents all the time? In terms of what I just said, what's wrong with you?
Motivator hungry.
That's right. From who? That's right. How do you remedy it? In mock-up form. All right. What would you do to somebody who sat around and told you the brutal things he had done to people? That's right. He's just trying to run it out. Complete identification. What is the name for what is wrong with him?
Overhungry.
That's right, overhungry. Okay. Now, what is wrong with somebody who complains about his wife all the time? What's wrong?
Overhungry.
That's right. And how do you remedy it?
Have him out of his wife doing horrible things.
That's right. That's right. Are we interested in what the actual condition of his past is? No, that's right. Do we have to prove or demonstrate the fact that he actually was the guilty party in this case? What alleged science is this the technique of?
Science.
No, that's psychology, does that other
thing. Oh, you mean the proving he's done something.
That's right. What alleged science? We've got psychology and psychoanalysis, and they point out to him that he is guilty. And this is non-therapeutic, but it certainly keeps the patients coming in for a long time. All right, one other thing I want to say about gradient scales. Did it ever occur to you, I've just gone over black spot processing, did this truism ever occur to you? It's one of these terribly obvious things, like the fellow whose stomach is in bad shape, is guilty of more eating than he has been eating. So that's obvious, but this is obvious. The gradient scale of creation and destruction. Since I have heard several people here recently mentioning a preclear and classifying him on the grounds that he couldn't destroy or get rid of a mock-up. And this is with great surprise to me. Listen to this. Gradient scale of creation and destruction for those who cannot create and destroy. That is the remedy for people who can't destroy mock-ups. Now let's get that. The gradient scale of creation for those who can't create mock-ups. The gradient scale of destruction. Now what are you getting to destroy in the first place? The beginning of the gradient scale is nothing. Now let's put up a small spot of nothing there. Now let's create this small piece of nothing. The fellow's sure he's got a small piece of nothing. You say now, uncreate. Very well. He has created and destroyed nothing. All right, we just go on from there. Now that he has a persistent mock-up, he has a witch from Haiti. Oh boy, he's going to get real wild. And he'll tell you about this finding in confidence. If you run some pre-clears on anemia, you'll be amazed how complex the mind thinks it is. And you'll run them, and you'll be surprised how long you could process somebody without finding out some peculiar, horribly interesting manifestation, such as there is a witch doctor from Haiti who beats a tom-tom on his left shoulder every Friday night. And this is really what he's worried about. He isn't even able to look straight at what manifestation he's worried about, you see. He doesn't tell you about it. So I normally put pre-clear. If I'm processing, go to go for broke on the process, creation, destruction, I say, well, now, is anything worrying you? And if the needle remains relatively calm, I know that I've got a very fast case. But that doesn't happen. The guy staggers around, fools around, and all of a sudden you get a stuffed needle. So you just boom. There's space right in on it. What is it? What is wearing it? Is it in the field of yourself and your physical behavior? Is it in the second dynamic? Is it about children? Is it about your wife? Is it about your parents? Does it have anything to do with any group, any social group, any club, any sport club, anything like that? No. Well, all right. Does it have to do with a political unit? Does it have to do with the government? Or any government, or any type of government? Or does it have to do with men? Does it have to do with women? Does it have to do with objects? Objects that have to do with spaces? Does it have to do with energy action of any kind? Have to do with time? Of course, it wouldn't have to do with time. And then we say, well, does it have to do with animals? Does it have to do with insects? Let's go on up the rack, then, have to do with animals, have to do with insects first, if we're going up the dynamics. And then does it have to do with mass energy? Space, matter, time, so on. And then, for goodness sake, don't omit this one. Does it have to do with ghosts? Ghosts is spirits, guardian angels, guiding things, Christ, Buddha, Muhammad. Does it have to do with any great teacher, any religion? And then, of course, does it have to do with God? And for heaven's sake, we talk so much about eight being God, don't forget that it's also the devil. Or does it have to do with Satan, the devil, and so on? Well, somewhere on the line, this guy will do a slap. You can normally expect a slap of some sort around dynamic seven spirits. He really expects a slap. He's terribly bad off. You'll get slaps around God. And when you get no slaps anywhere except on seven and eight, this guy's almost dead. Well, how do you remedy these things? Use gradient scale, beginning to create and destroy. Now, the reason creation and destruction was sticking with auditors and so on, and we more or less walked away from the technique in general use, is not because it's unworkable. Believe me, you find this guy's got a consistent image in front of him. Well, you'll use admiration processing. Something you've got an immediate problem on your hands. Till you clear up that problem, you got trouble. He always can see his first wife or something like that. He always has a picture of his first wife, or he has it every once in a while. Picture of his first wife. Real trouble. And this worries him. Throws him off track. You try to get him to make a mock-up. There's this damn picture up there. He may never tell you about it. That means he can't destroy her. He tried and he tried and he tried. He used strychnine, but he didn't have enough courage to put it in the coffee pot. He used this, he used that, and he wanted to beat her to death. Anything. Because the police, then he contangled with police. And every time he wanted to beat her head in, he thought to himself, well, I can't do that because they put me in the electric chair, these arbitrary dogs. And maybe this woman was very, very terrifically liable, I mean, for everything. But at the same time, it wasn't done, you see. He couldn't destroy her. Or he couldn't destroy Papa. Papa used to beat up Mama all the time. He tries to destroy Papa. He can't destroy Papa. Or he can't destroy Mama, and Mama used to bang his head in all. Something may be going on in this case. Well, how do you get him to do this? Well, you get the furthest object that you can think of that would vaguely be connected with this picture or persistent image. Vaguely connected with it. The tiniest thing. Now, you can get him to destroy a shoelace, an old, moldy, broken shoelace, and then you finally get him to destroy one of Papa's shoes. That's Papa, let's say. And then you get him to destroy one of Papa's shoelaces, and then get him to destroy one of Papa's shoes. And then you get him to destroy something or other that, there was a blade of grass which had been mowed off Papa's grave and was thrown on a pile somewhere. You're going to destroy that blade of grass. See? Now you're getting destroyed more and more and more. And all of a sudden, my God, he can put Papa up there and blow him up with the wildest abandon. And it may be just one character on the whole case. And the case just goes, boom, just falls apart. Who can't he create and destroy? Somebody rushed into me one time, told me the case was in terrible condition, could create and destroy anything. And therefore, this proved that the technique was not indicative of anything. And when I started to get kickbacks, field was characterized. But as far as the field at large is concerned, this means not a good process. I checked this case later. Yeah, this case could destroy and create, in terms of thought postulates, anything, but couldn't get a picture of a single one of her family. But she would tell the auditor, now, all right, get the mock-up of your mother. Okay, I have one. She didn't see any mock-up of her mother. She would just say, well, I can't really see these things, so I'll just assume one's there. Naturally, she had a mock-up of her mother. Well, how would you get her to assume this? Simply by gradient scales of processing, and the other, remember, a gradient scale of perception for those who cannot see. You see how easy that one would be? A gradient scale of perception for those who cannot see. Have them see something they can see. They can't see in mock-ups. Have them see something they can see, and then have them see a couple more of these, and then have them see a lot more of these, and then have them see these in various locations, and then finally, everybody's always got a picture, and then have them see these in bigger and then smaller, and then turn them around to the back side of them. Whatever they're looking at, you see, and you just keep on